guys, I'm going to give you a special edition here of the Focus Group podcast. This is for members only. This is a part of my conversation with NBC national political correspondent Mark Caputo of Florida. We talked about the recent FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago. We have sound from two different groups. One, a group that voted for Trump in 2016 that did not vote for him again in 2020 from Pennsylvania. And then we have another group from Florida, which did not vote for Trump in 2016, but did vote for him in 2020. And we asked both those groups about the FBI raid, and Mark and I discussed it. And so we're going to release this to you early and exclusively for Bulwark Plus members. Please enjoy. I want to turn now, Mark Caputo of NBC, to a big Florida story that has been unraveling over the past few days. The FBI raided, I guess we're going with raided, Mar-a-Lago on August 8th.
I think it's a raid.
Okay. And we did this Florida group the very next day before the warrant was unsealed. We also did another group from Pennsylvania of Trump to not Trump voters. So they were Trump voters in 2016, but refused to vote for him in 2020. And in both groups, so these were both after this raid happened, so we asked about it. They were very skeptical of the FBI. Mm-hmm. They thought that the raid was only going to help Trump. You might be shocked, but I wasn't. I suspect you weren't too.
Nope.
That this Florida group did not think the raid was legitimate. Let's listen.
I mean, why haven't the Clintons had an FBI raid? Are you kidding me? Like, really? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I think it's completely politically driven. Absolutely.
Hunter Biden smoking crack with prostitutes on video.
So he's the current president. I don't want to get in trouble.
Hunter's not the current president, but...
No, yeah. But his dad is.
I think he probably did take documents, but at the same time, I still think it's politically driven.
I'm at that point where I don't know who to trust because everything is so deeply corrupt for so long.
I was surprised there was no independent counsel.
So that was the Florida group. Now let's listen to the Pennsylvania group, which was people who voted for Trump in 2016, but then refused to vote for him in 2020. And so not a huge MAGA group. And yet they too were pretty skeptical of the FBI and seemed to think that this raid was actually going to help Trump.
If it's simply because, he may have taken some stuff from the White House, like the National Presidential Records Act, and that's all it is, then it's going to blow up in their face. It'll basically prove that everything Trump's been saying is right now, that they're going after me, they're going after you, they're going after their enemies. You know, if it's simply all about, he took a few documents, it'll just make everything that Trump said true. It would show that, the Democrats are illegitimate and that they only care about going after their enemies and that they're going to use the FBI to go after their enemies.
Trump actually has, the warrant, so he knows what it's about, but he's not releasing it. So that's just Trump being, because he sees everybody else rallying behind him.
They just want to find a reason to prevent him to run. I have a serious distrust in any authority. It's just, I don't know. I know inherently probably most of the boots on the ground FBI people are upstanding citizens who took an oath and wanted to be FBI agents since they were kids, just like police officers. But I have a hard time believing it when it comes to something like this.
There's other ways. There's subpoenas. There's other ways to get it. I mean, a raid. If that's what it's about, it's over the top.
From what I understand, all of Obama's boxes and all of his documents are sitting in an abandoned restaurant warehouse in Chicago. Why isn't that being raided? Like, why aren't they going to get all those presidential? Like, it's supposed to go into the presidential library.
So let me ask you, what do you think this FBI raid of, and there's still a lot we don't know, but this is everybody's wondering, does this help Trump? And everyone's calling me to be like, well, what are your focus groups saying? But this group in Florida, they were really down on the FBI, thought it was politically motivated, a lot of whataboutism, you hear the Hunter Biden stuff. Do you think that it's going to help Trump?
Well, certainly in the short term, it consolidates his standing in the Republican Party. I was going to mention this in my discussion of DeSantis. And for me, it's the coup de grace on my previous analysis as to why he's not going to run against him, is that there is now a rallying around the chief effect. it's just difficult to see any Republican challenging him at this point. I mean, maybe Pence will. So, yeah, I think in the short term, there's that. Now, of course, things could change. Who knows? Maybe the documents could come out. The evidence could come out showing any number of really terrible crimes from the president. I'm not going to speculate on what they are, but there's a lot of rank speculation out there on Twitter. You know, if that turns out to be well-founded and irrefutable, then yeah, sure. I see that hurting him. Long-term, Donald Trump's biggest problem in 2020 is that he is chaotic and exhausting. And Joe Biden's biggest asset was that he was boring and normal. And so people in 2020 chose boring and normal over chaotic and exhausting. Now, there has been certainly a hit to Biden's favorability ratings because another thing he ran on is being competent and all of these various problems came up, you know, from Afghanistan to inflation. We can debate later who's to blame for that or how he should have handled it or messaged it. So he certainly took a hit. But, you know, it's 2022. It's basically 2 years after the presidential election, and we are still just completely consumed by Trump. And so I wonder about the degree to which that kind of here we go again exhaustion factor is going to surround Trump in a general election going forward. Now, we got 2 more years to go. Who knows? So I don't see this being helpful to him in the long run. But, you know, there are just so many unknowns as to how this happens. Does he get charged? If he gets charged, does he get convicted? It's hard for me to see him get convicted just because of impaneling a jury. But I don't know all the evidence, right? I mean, if there's just clear and beyond the shadow of a doubt evidence, then yeah, all of that stuff changes. But just to put a kind of finer point on it, short term, big benefit to Trump. His poll numbers are up in the Republican Party. His fundraising went gangbusters. Everyone's talking about him. That's what he likes. Long term, I don't see how this really helps him.
So I agree with this. I think this is the correct analysis based on what we know right now.
Right.
The idea that he's going to be successfully prosecuted, I think, is probably a little far-fetched. But the idea that he's established as a national security threat, you know, pretty good. But these voters, even the ones who maybe have been drifting away from them, it is causing a kind of rally around Trump effect. And that includes DeSantis. Right. It includes elites in the party who I think would love to see Trump locked up. DeSantis as the understudy. Like, they don't have any room to maneuver the way that they'd like in terms of their own national profiles as long as he's the one crowding the stage. But they're certainly going to vociferously defend him because, again, they're not trying to challenge him. They're trying to be his understudy. And so it does have this short-term benefit. What do you make, though, of the thinking, such as it is, about when he gets in the race? Like, do you think it makes him move earlier?
It may. The problem here is trying to predict the mind of Trump in such a dynamic environment, right? I think if he hopped in now, he would look a little too nervous. Mm-hmm. And so he wouldn't want to look weak. But it certainly encourages him to announce sooner than later. The question is does he do it before or after the midterms? I still think it's likelier than not he announces after the midterms. I think, does this affect the Justice Department's calculations on when to charge, if they plan to charge? Do they want to charge a former president who is an announced candidate for president and is the likely nominee for his party? So I also wonder to what degree Merrick Garland is looking at this. I mean, people will say, well, no, he's not. He's an institutionalist and the like. And because he's an institutionalist, the attorney general, I imagine he's going to be giving this a lot of thought. And as a result of him giving this a lot of thought, it gives Trump a little more time to decide when to announce.
Yeah. So my dime store analysis on this is that I thought that Trump might jump in early because I assume that they're running focus groups themselves, lots of polling, and that he was seeing the same thing that I was seeing in a lot of the work that I was doing, which is that people were starting to look around for other people.
Right.
They were worried Trump had too much baggage.
Right.
And like his reason for jumping in had more to do with less trying to avoid legal trouble and more to do with like, no, me, everybody look at me.
Exactly.
And this sort of gives him that opportunity for everybody to look at him and for the party to rally around him without him having to get in.
Exactly.
And so I think
I didn't think of that. I think you're 100% right.
It does give him, like you said, sort of that
more time.
Time to maneuver. And obviously the party's not eager to have him jump in prior to the midterms because they don't want to make it about him. But this allows you to get all that benefit of the anger that people feel. And this is the number one takeaway, I think, from all the focus group work I've done, is the total collapse of faith in institutions, right? Like, nobody trusts the FBI. And that includes people who, like, didn't really like Trump and, like, didn't vote for him again in 2020, but they don't trust the FBI. They think things are politically motivated. That's something that's different, like, with Nixon, or just different times where people were like, oh, well, if the FBI is going to prosecute you, like, you must have done something really bad. And now it's much more like, who can trust the FBI? Like, it doesn't matter to them that Ray, the FBI director, was appointed by Trump. Like, none of that matters, right?
Right. You know, I'm fond these days of quoting William Butler Yeats's poem, The Second Coming, where the phrase things fall apart comes from. And he says, the center cannot hold, the best lack all conviction, and the worst are full of a passionate intensity. I think that centrifugal force of our politics, where things have eroded in the center and spun out of control and are gyring around, really speaks to the political moment that we're in. I remember in 2014, I remember hearing Hillary Clinton give a speech in Miami about the disintegration of trust in institutions. And it was a really good speech, actually. It was one of the more interesting political speeches I had heard. And it's true in spades now. You know, the question, as kind of a court watcher, is, you know, normally a search warrant in a federal investigation that's done as a means to an end, the means being the search warrant, the end being a conviction or an indictment. The question here is, does that search warrant actually function as an end in and of itself, where the federal government was in this tussle, in this dispute with Donald Trump, and finally was like, we're just going to go there at the point of a gun, and we're going to take back these documents. We've got the documents now. Yeah, we've crossed that Rubicon, but we're going to call it a day. Hmm. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I always like giving William Butler Yeats the last word. So, Mark Caputo.
We'll do Lita and the Swan next time, I think.
Mark Caputo, thank you for being such an interesting guest. I really appreciate you being here.